Thought for today. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. Jonathan Livingston Seagull said something that Sylvia wants to repeat to us now.
Boredom and fear.
The only thing that is difficult that causes a seagull to
live a short life
is boredom, anger, and fear. Boredom, anger, and fear. You, nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. You grow old by deserting your ideals. You start out with the ideal of happiness, of joy, of imagination. And when you get boredom, anger, and fear, then what happens? When you have boredom, anger, and fear, you destroy yourself. Now, why do you destroy yourself when you have boredom? Well, boredom means that you're tired of life, that you have lethargy, you have no interest in doing anything, you have no interest in exciting life at all. Life has become dull to you. Now, that starts out in childhood. That starts out when children are brought up and children are taught that they've got to have a lot of games to play with. They have to have a lot of toys. They have to have a lot of attention. They have to have a lot of interest by other people. If they don't have interest by other people, then they're bored. Now, we have two dogs. And these dogs will do their very darndest to take your attention. They'll lay on your feet. They'll hug you, snuggle you, cuddle you, lick you into death, you know. But if you don't play with them, then they'll go to another toy. And they love their toys. They'll take their little pull toy, and one will hit the other over the head with the pull toy. Take them on, play, 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 play. And if the other doesn't want to play, just lays there, then he'll take the pull toy, and he'll throw it around himself and throw it up in the air and just have a great, great old time. He has learned to live with himself, learned to play and enjoy his own company, and not to need others. Now, we have so learned, or so felt we needed company around us, that if we don't have people around us, we're bored. If we don't have television going 24 hours a day, if we don't have the radio going, if we don't have music going, we're bored. Because we just have not learned to live within ourselves. We have not learned to maintain our ideals. And the way we learn to maintain our ideals is by giving attention to them. Giving attention to your ideals. What are your ideals? Now let's just look at boredom, anger, and fear. Are you excited about life? If you are, then you're not bored. Are you appreciative of all of your creation and realizing that it's your creation, you created it? Then you can never be angry with yourself or with your creation. And did you create everything that exists? Are you the master? Are you God? Then what do you have to fear? What do you have to fear? These are the simple little things that make a short life for a seagull and make a short life for a human being very well, too. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. You're just not excited about life. You're not content with yourself and not harmonious with yourself. And you fear that somebody else has a manipulative control over your life. And usually you have given someone that control. You start out by giving your mother that control. Little children who are enjoying themselves playing, they don't hear their mother calling. They just play and have fun. They're living their own individual life. You're saying, oh, they should learn to listen to their mother. They should. Yeah, that's true. In a society where that's required, that's true. That learned order. But that kid's not going to grow old by boredom. That kid's totally comfortable with his own time and his own person. He doesn't need to go and eat to be with the rest of the family to feel unbored. He doesn't need to have his brothers and sisters around. He can be playing in the playground or in the play box all by himself, was totally content, untouched by anything. And his brothers and sisters come, he moves over a little bit, gives him a little room, but he continues with his game. He doesn't care. Now, that is an initial part. We should get into a little more advanced part, because we're advanced. We're further along the way. We're adults. And presumably everyone listening to this tape is an adult. So if you're an adult and you're doing your thing, you can't say, well, I didn't learn this as a child. I didn't learn that as a child. I didn't learn how to become peaceful as a child. I didn't learn how to live harmoniously as a child. Hey, forget it. You're an adult now. John, here's a new computer. You want it? Oh, no, I don't want a new computer. I have to learn it. Well, if I were John, you know what I'd say? And I don't want to learn it. Sure, thank you very much. And sell it. You know? Sell it. Don't be stupid. If you don't want to learn it, that's okay. But take it. Accept every gift that's given to you. And then, if you wish, give it away, sell it, use it however you wish. But don't stop living just because you don't know how to use something. What would you do, John, if I gave you a Cat 9?
I'd play with it.
You'd play with it. Do you have any need for it?
No.
Do you have any reason to own it?
No.
Do you have any use for it at all?
No.
All you have is a use to do what?
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Play with it. Now, you know what a D9 is? It's as big as a house, like Richard Bach says. It's as big as a house. What's John going to do with a Caterpillar tractor as big as a house? Well, he's going to play with it. He's going to find some chunk of land that he can run back and forth with it and just have fun with it. What if somebody comes along, hey, that's a big thing. Would you mind coming over and cleaning up my property for me? John says, sure, you pay for getting it over there, pay for getting it back, and pay me a little bit too, you know. I'll run across your property. But just remember, I don't do cleanup. I only do demolishing. So when I roll over your property, it will be clean as a whistle. There'll be a few sticks and stones here and there you don't want, but that's not my job. I merely crush it. And I make it flat. There'll be no more trees, no more bushes, no more houses, no more barns, nothing there. You'll be able to start from scratch and whatever you want to do. Hey, I didn't mean that way. Hey, look, this thing's big as a house. And I have fun with this thing. And if you're going to keep me from having fun just because a couple of houses are in the way, then turn me loose on something else. And so then the federal government says, John, we have an opportunity for you. And John says, I'm ready. John, I realize you're from New Zealand, and you're always touting New Zealand, saying how wonderful it is, but we'd have a job. We have a hole that needs to be filled. John says, I'm your man. It's called the Grand Canyon. And John says, what? That beautiful scenic place, you want to fill it in? Yeah, mm-hmm. And then John says, shut up, John. You got a job. They're going to pay you for it. Go do it. So John goes over and fills in the Grand Canyon. Well, the Colorado River still keeps running. They put a pipe down the middle of it, you know, to let the water run through, you know. But they covered over the whole thing, made it flat, so that they'd have flat land on which to build and have cities and things like that. And then John says, after he's done, you know, you guys, you had millions and millions of square miles of land all around the Grand Canyon that were flat and that had no houses on it. Now, why do you think people are going to build on top of the Grand Canyon? Ah, you got a point there. Well, give me my check and I'll be on my way. No, John. Dig it out again.
Yeah.
And John says, okay, for a fee. Okay. And so John digs it out again. And he creates a new Grand Canyon. And then they say, well, how are we ever going to get it to look like it did before? And John says, well, I am a good man at treatment. If you like, I will treat that it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. and just wash out the Grand Canyon like it was before. But what about everything downstream? Well, that's your problem, not mine. You want it like it was? I can make it like it was. I can get you the rain. I got to deal with the guy upstairs. And we can get you rain. And John says to himself, this is an interesting situation. Now, you see, John is just doing things that are fun for him. And he doesn't concern himself with the consequences. He doesn't concern himself with whether it's right or whether it's wrong. Now you say, we cannot go through life like that. We cannot go through life without considering what's right and wrong. We have to be responsible people. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old by deserting their ideals. What's John's ideal? To be himself and have fun. Now, is filling the Grand Canyon and emptying it again his idea of having fun? If you got the right equipment. And if John had a job that big, he'd hire about 10 more D9s to go in there and walk along. And if he were that good, he would get himself a helicopter and he'd fly over his boys while they were working. And he'd check it out to make sure they filled it well and that they unfilled it well. And if John had any brains at all, he got hired for this job, he'd say, that's boring. I'm going to go and do something else. I'm not going to be bored by something that's boring. I'm going to go and do something else. Anybody, you want to build a lake? How about Lake Tahoe? You want to make a drain in there, drain all the water out, or put up more water in there? What do you want to do? I'm here to be creative. You see, boredom is not one of the things that bother John. Now, what about anger? What about the people? They come down upon John with their pitchforks and their cars and their machine guns and say, stop, 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 don't destroy the Grand Canyon. That's a national treasure. Don't do that. Don't. The federal government wants me to do it. See, here's my authorization. Who is that stupid president that allowed that to happen, you know? And so then they take John at pitchfork point and go to see the president. And John says, well, I was only doing what you wanted, George. And George says, John, I know you're always a good man. But you see, you got a little against you because you're from down under. And if there's an American who did that, they wouldn't say a thing. But because you're from down under, they felt that you were trying to make New Zealand more popular. So, I mean, these are games. These are games. And you say, Herb, what's this all about? Well, what it's all about is being yourself and having fun. If you are yourself and having fun, you're not bored. If you're doing things that delight you, you're not bored. If if you're angry about something because something doesn't go your way, you change your thought. Then what do? You grow older. But you don't grow older. You grow younger. You see, what are your ideals? If your ideal is to be yourself and have fun, and then the government says, fill in the Grand Canyon, you know, and you feel filling in the Grand Canyon is a travesty, it's something terrible you'd never do, well, then you say, no, thank you. I got other jobs I want to do. But if to you it makes no difference, it makes no difference whether you fill it in or not, because perhaps there's some greater good coming out of this, some greater joy. Perhaps John sees in the tomorrow, today, because he knows today, tomorrow, tomorrow, today, and he knows that. And John sees that once he has covered in the Grand Canyon, there's going to be a great rainstorm that's going to come. And in that rainstorm, it's going to make the ground all fertile and rich, and a forest of trees is going to sprout out to be just like the Amazon jungle, but it's going to be in the more of the temperate time. And it's going to bring back the green peace to the world. But you can't see that. You can't see that because you just say, oh, that pretty Grand Canyon is gone. And that is a big, pretty Grand Canyon. It's a pretty big thing to be gone. But if you follow your guidance, you follow what you got into the picture, you got into the show, go along with it. You got into the game, go along with it, play it. See, play the game. And you don't always know the outcome of the game, but play it. Why did you get into the game if you don't want to play? Why do you have a big D9 if you don't want to play? Why did you create that in your life? So play the game. Play the game. Alan was reading about this web page system of public speaking and how the author was saying it is good and it's bad and it's up and it's down. Hey, anything for free isn't going to be intensive. It's going to be a starter. Anything for free is going to be a starter. When I give meditations on our page, the Dali Healing Word, that's just a starter. That's just a starter to whet people's appetite about our philosophy. We're not really giving it free. We're giving it as a starter. It works. It works what I tell people. But that's only one little bit of what works. One little bit of putting the law of cause and effect into motion for yourself. One little bit. So, don't be bored. Don't be angry. Don't be upset. Because if you're upset, then what happens? Then you fear things. Because you fear the unknown. You fear that which you haven't seen, which that you don't know is going to work. When you desert your ideals, you fear. Now you say, maybe John's ideal is that the Grand Canyon is too much of a national monument and it should never be covered in. It's an earth monument. It's something beautiful. And then John says in his heart, he does a lot of things in his heart, you know. Then John says in his heart, I think I'll move the tectonic plates and shift the earth around and bring about a new land, bring about new populations, bring about new cities. The cities that are doing it now, that was fun, but I'm thinking about creating a new system. And what would you say if some person decided to do that? If John took his D9 cat and shoved those tectonic plates around and shoved whole cities into the ocean, what would you think of him? Oh, naughty, naughty, naughty. What do you think of God doing that? That's the act of God. Hurricanes, floods, natural disasters, tectonic plates. Those are all acts of God, wouldn't you say? Mm-hmm. Or are they acts of nature? What do you mean, no?
Consciousness.
Yes, but what is consciousness?
God.
Thank you. But you see, it's all acts of God. And we say that's terrible. Only because we're the recipients of bye-bye. Now, what if we were the recipients of the new land? What if we were on the ark and we were to repopulate the earth as Noah and his gang were supposed to do? What if we were like Adam and Eve? And then Cain and Abel had their outing. And then lovely Abel was killed. The gentle, kind, wonderful person. What a way to start a Bible. And Cain, the jerk, the killer, he was kicked out by his mom and pop, Adam and Eve. And so he went to the next community and he got married. Where were these other people? Adam and Eve were supposed to be the only people on the face of the earth. The first people on the face of the earth. Where did those other people come from? Hey, look, you got a right to write the story any way you want. Don't go thinking that the story has to be written a certain way. All you got to do is look at the illogical, unreasonable aspect of the Bible. And you say, hey, I can write as good as that. I can be illogical or logical or reasonable or unreasonable. You see, what's your ideal? Is your ideal to be yourself and have fun? To enjoy life? To go out and do beautiful things? Is your idea to go out and not improve the world, but just carry out your ideas? Say, for instance, Ellen wanted to bring to the world the philosophy of the University of Healing. If she really wanted to do that, what would she do? Nothing else would be important to her except to go and do that. Nothing else. She would go out and she would speak before groups. She would go out and she would let her creative gray matter up here bring forth all sorts of beautiful ideas, beautiful concepts. She would think of going to the Korean community. She'd think of going to the Asian community. She'd think of going to the United States. She'd think of going to all of our universities and speaking on these subjects. She'd think of talking to people like Zig Ziglar, one of the outstanding positive thinking people in the world today. And she would be working with him, helping him to promote the university healing, promote all the things that we believe in here. She would go out and use her imagination, and she would have her ideals, and she'd live and be dynamic and forceful and powerful. But instead of that, she's concerned about the little itty-nitty nitpicking things that we have to be concerned about. And in being concerned about it, then what happens? She doesn't see her bigger picture. She doesn't see her ideal. And the ideal gets lost. She thinks about the ship as a way of having people come and go to a seminar. Well, that's all cool and dandy. She thinks of the university here itself as being a wonderful campus. That's fine and dandy too. But I want her to think beyond this campus. Move out and touch the world, or not. If she doesn't want to do that, just lives it. That's super too. But she has made up her mind what she's going to do, so nothing can happen. And that's the important thing for all of us, to make up our mind. What is our ideal? Why do you think Moses lived so long? He had work to do. And when his work was over, when he arrived at the land of milk and honey, what did he do? He died. What do many other great people do? They die whenever they quit their jobs. They retire and they die because they have nothing more to live for. No more ideals. If people who were good in their business retired, they could become advisors of people who are just starting out in business. They could take some young person under their wing and say, hey, together let's go and build this. You can take my expertise and your enthusiasm and we'll have a winner. But it's yours, not mine. It's your dream. I'm going to work with you on your dream. Wow! What a glorious thing that would be, right? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yes.
And that's what Big Brothers is supposed to be all about. Where boys who don't have a father in the family, someone in the Big Brothers comes along and plays ball with them, talks to them, encourages them, does neat things with them. You see, when you have ideals, it doesn't matter what your ideals are. Building in the Grand Canyon is a horrendous thing. It's enough to shake anybody's boat. But so what? So what? If it isn't of concern to you, keep your nose out. If you feel the Grand Canyon should not be filled in, what would you do?
Speak your word.
What speak your word?
That remains like it is.
I see the Grand Canyon as a beautiful national monument forever, or whatever you want to say, but stays like it is. You don't want to stay like it is because it's constantly eroding, constantly changing. But you see, you don't say, don't fill it in, stop, shoot him, destroy his D9 and stuff. No, you say, hey, I see that it's like it. And then you know what happened? Bush would say, hey, I changed my mind. We're keeping the Grand Canyon. But John, you can dig another one. Or whatever. Do you follow me? It can be silly and wonderful. Now, the mountains are going to fall into the ocean, they say, right? Why not take the D9 and shove the mountains in the ocean right away? And then you can build on top of it for the next couple thousand years, and it won't fall in the ocean. Interesting, huh? Or are there better ways to move mountains than with a D9?
Apparently.
Apparently. And you as God can do it. How would you do it, Ellen? See it done.
Oh, yeah.
So soon we forget. Yeah, we see it done. This is the big thing that we're working on. Seeing it done. Seeing all these things. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. But Ellen, how many people have ideals that are worth living for? How many people have ideals that are worth living? Did we teach our children to have ideals? Did we teach our children, no, this is yours, this is mine, this is ours, and don't let anybody else touch that. And if you can fall down in front of a car and get a couple million dollars for insurance, even though you weren't hit, take it, you know. And, you know, this nonsense. This way of manipulating the world and taking advantage of other people. Instead of saying, I see all the world in harmony and peace. I see all the world abundant and healthy. You see, that could be our ideal. Ellen, what's your ideal right now?
To be myself and have fun.
That's a good start. But Ellen's other ideal is to develop the University of Healing and allow it to be serving more and more people. Right?
Yeah.
Obviously, that wasn't.
No.
I'm putting thoughts into her mind.
Just flowing with it.
Well, no, I thought that that's what marketing was all about. Mm-hmm. Well, then perhaps we better find a new marketing. Are you available, Gerd? We need a new marketing director. He says, I got a company of my own to market. And that's good. That's good. But what about you, Ingeborg? Are you good at marketing? You try anything, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
You're not willing to retire yet, are you? No. And Sylvia, are you good at marketing?
Yes.
Yes.
College.
And what could you do if you marketed?
Would
it grow fabulously?
Oh, sure.
Would we have so many proctors on duty that it'd be like, what do you call these places where they have people calling up on the telephone?
Telemarketing.
Telemarketing centers, you know. Just a room full of proctors handling it all by email and by telephone. Wouldn't that be something? That telemarketing stuff is quite effective. I don't think I'd like to use it for our organization. It's high pressure and it's people buy something they don't really want. And then they would just be unhappy with the product. And that's never good. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals. And if they don't have ideals, they have nothing to desert. And of course, why do people die when they're 10, 20, 50, 30 years old, you know? Is it because of this? Yes, exactly. When a person has an ideal, they live their life so harmoniously that they live eternally. When a person doesn't have an ideal, they die. Every death you see is a suicide, a person who gave up on an ideal. Now, I ask Ellen what's her ideal, and we're talking about business programs, you know. And she says, be myself and have fun. I said, yeah, that's great. But what else? Well, you see, if we don't know what our ideal is, we can't really chase it. We can't really enjoy it. So, know what your ideal is, and hold on to your ideal. Don't desert it. Be true to it all the years of your life. And when you are, you're going to be the happiest, heartiest, healthiest being on the face of the earth. Nobody grows old by merely living a number of years. People grow old only by deserting their ideals.